You see there that man's rarity is equated with that of the bird. During the atomic tests, I used to pace the floor at night thinking of the albatross. And finally, I sat down and wrote a 5-page single-space letter to John Fitzgerald Kennedy on the subject of the albatross and mankind. I cited to him Coleridge, and I even cited Moby Dick, and it went into long, long symbolic details. And I received an answer from the president's aide that he enjoyed my letter very much and was going to take under consideration ceasing the test, and he did. But I don't know whether that was the reason, but after all, if Boudin's left the party, anything is possible, you see. Then, let me see, there are many, many little lines here and there which you would find explored in Miss McIntosh. Because I always worry about writers who tell me, oh, my next book is going to be totally different. I think, what's the matter with you? You know, why should it be different? Your books should become more and more what they already were, more and more yourself. Never break with your former self and say that's over with, but rather, I'm being very Scotch about this, use what you have and what you are and enlarge upon it, amplify it, strengthen it, but don't give it up. Now, when I was at the University of Chicago, I knew a beautiful lady who was an opium addict. One of the major characters of Miss McIntosh, my darling. She was a kind of Elizabeth Barrett Browning recluse. Fabulously beautiful, fabulously brilliant, and fabulously rich. She had to be rich to be beautiful and still be an opium addict, as she always said. Had she been poor, she would have been in a flop house. But she was in a kind of place that was like a Chinese nightingale, that poem by Vachel Lindsay. And she had dreams, and I was often present during her dreams. And here I have written one of her dreams. I wrote a long poem about her. The only person who ever saw it was Martin Zabel, and he is dead, and I have lost the copy. So that's the little piece of immortality gone, gone, gone. Like the poet James Whitcomb Riley used to carry little scraps of poems. I'm now writing his biography. He carried them around in his high silk hat, you know, like Lincoln's speeches. He was very absent-minded and sometimes slightly inebriated. He would lift his hat and all the poems would just shower out like snow and the wind would blow them along the street. And I'm sure his greatest works were lost in that way. And it's nice to have a few lost works. It really is. Well, she dreamed that she saw, I was very young then, she called me the prosaic sprite because I was supposedly the most sensible person she had ever met. Can you imagine that? And she told the prosaic sprite her opium dreams. She dreamed that she saw Alcibiades' head was caught in a drain pipe in the house, and that that there was a rabbit also in the drain pipe, and they were looking at each other, staring at each other, and she told me this dream, and I wrote it. It's in Miss McIntosh too. Her dream about Alcibiades. That's what started the book. I don't think it's a particularly good poem, but then, you know, I have a tendency to reject all my former work after a while because I'm so busy writing the new one, you know, and I always love the one I'm writing and forget the others. So I'm having to read this after how many 15 years of freedom from it. I don't think I've looked at it for 20 years, if you want to know the truth. It's called Legend in Grass of Innocence and Evil. How all space could also frame face of a drunken general leering vastly underground as if he were unburied still. That Alcibiades I feared, jocund beneath magenta blossoms, bled with blood of John the Baptist, who here is forever headless. That self-same staggered face should be in a drain pipe, looming suddenly where the trembling rabbit ran, seeing unresurrected man. The trembling rabbit sees the bared teeth whose aged appetite detains the wildest, soft-eared sensation in the realm of night. Rabbit who stares unblinking-eyed at thatched and bearded face of doom, which stares at him unblinking-eyed. Believe that John the Baptist rose, his martyred head upon him still. That was another star than this, whereby the sensual and coarse head which will not let him pass, the innocent creature is detained, a fume, a smoke of sylvan breath beneath a darkly bleeding land, and neither one will suffer death.